This week's episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by Expedition Unknown. Do you know that there's proof that Robin Hood might have been a real person using underground passageways under England to rob the rich? Or that gold coins discovered on the beaches of Florida might be connected to a Spanish treasure fleet that sank in 1715? On the Expedition Unknown podcast from Discovery, Josh Gates travels the world to investigate history's greatest unsolved mysteries. He'll take you through Russia and Germany looking for stolen objects of great value pillaged by Nazis during World War II, to Nepal to uncover mysterious caves high up the mountains, or to Peru to uncover the meaning behind giant geoglyphs drawn into the earth hundreds of years ago. I met Josh and interviewed him on This Week in Travel. Now it's been 12 years ago. Can't believe it's been that long, but that tells you how long he has been out there looking for stories like he's sharing on the Expedition Unknown podcast. Travel the globe with Josh Gates as he investigates some of humanity's greatest feats and most iconic legends. Listen to Expedition Unknown where you get your podcasts. And thanks to Expedition Unknown for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more. Amateur Traveler, episode 888. Today, Amateur Traveler talks about three great train journeys: wines and mines, rocks and rivers, beaches and dolphins, as we go down under for train travel in Australia. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about Australia by train. I'd like to welcome the show Pam and Gary Baker, who are freelance food, wine, and travel writers from, oddly enough, PamandGaryBaker.com. And they've come to talk to us about an Australian rail trip. Pam and Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
And Australia, we know, we can find that on a map. What rail trip are you come to talk to us about?
So we're here to talk about the train ride on the Great Southern. It travels from Brisbane to Adelaide, or vice versa, from Adelaide back up to Brisbane. It's one of three iconic train rides in Australia offered by Journey Beyond.
Okay. And you say one of three. I'm curious what the other two are.
There's the Indian Pacific that goes from Sydney to Perth.
Okay.
And then there's another one that goes from Adelaide to Darwin and vice versa. That one's called the Gone, and that's one of the most iconic. That goes right through the red dirt.
Right, part. North to south.
North to south, yeah.
And we've been lucky enough to go on those two train rides, so it's a great way to see the country. And having taken those two train rides, we decided to go back and try the Great Southern because it's a wonderful way to see the east coast of Australia, southeast coast.
Southeastern coast, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Why should somebody do this trip?
Australia is quite vast, and I think most people don't realize how big the country is. We've heard a lot of people that are planning to go there thinking they're going to rent a car and go from place to place, but it really is quite a distance between cities. And we just think that the train rides are a great way to see the country. What do you think, Gary?
If your notion of rail travel includes luxury and you like to be well attended by staff, and you like good food, and you like great off-train curated excursions, then this is a better way to see the country than by air or by car.
Okay.
It's certainly a convenient way to see the country because you're guided all along.
And it is a luxury train ride, so you're enjoying the best of food, the best of spirits, the best of wines. And you meet the most interesting people on the train. So you're going to meet people from all over the country, from other countries, fellow travelers. Everybody has a different story. It's quite relaxing. Each cabin comes with its own ensuite bathroom and fold down beds. So you can use the cabin during the day to just sit and relax and read a book, take photographs. Each cabin has these huge panoramic windows. And at night, you're sleeping and the train rocks you to sleep. And it's just such a lovely, relaxing way to travel. And with the off-train excursions, you're never bored because you get to stop every day and go explore some different part of the country.
Well, let's get into that. You boarded the train where?
So in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So Brisbane is the capital of Queensland. And let me back up and just suggest something. So most people start their trip to Australia in Sydney. And a great way to see more of the country in a short period of time is to start in Sydney, spend a couple days there, then fly up to Brisbane. You get to see a little bit of Queensland, and then that will take you all the way through to, you'll get to see Melbourne, you'll get to visit Adelaide, and you're able to do that train journey in 3 days and three nights. So you get to see a huge part of the country in a relatively short period of time. To add what Gary said, we did start in Brisbane, and we chose that route because that route has different off-train excursions than the opposite route that goes from Adelaide up to Brisbane.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. What train excursions did you choose this route for?
We particularly chose this route because we were generally unfamiliar with the southeastern coast. And the Great Southern is a summertime experience in Australia. Mm-hmm. Time of year is important. And we picked the Brisbane to Adelaide run because we wanted to see the sea coast and see some of the area of Queensland and New South Wales and Victoria that we hadn't explored before.
But you said there were excursions that were offered north to south that weren't offered south to north.
Yes.
So I was wondering which ones drew you.
Oh, okay. So happy to talk about that. So on day one, we get on the train, and let me just mention that every train ride begins with a party. So before you get on board, there's a party going on. You're greeted with a glass of sparkling wine. There's music playing in the background. Somebody's walking around with appetizers, and everybody's excited to take this train ride because they truly are bucket list experiences. But to answer your question about the excursions, on day one, we stopped in Coffs Harbor, which is a pretty popular summertime destination.
Oh, definitely. Great beaches, good family fun, that sort of thing. And this, you have to remember, this was summertime, so we had tremendous weather. We were lucky enough to have dinner beachside at, I think it's called Charlesworth Bay in Coffs Harbor. And that was sponsored by one of the larger hotels there, along with the Journey Beyond staff. Plenty of good food, plenty of music, and just a genuine good time at an outdoor venue.
Yep, tables under the stars.
It's not that far from Brisbane to Coffs Harbor. So what time do you arrive, and do you have time to see the town or do the beach, or what is a day like on the train?
I think we boarded the train about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. You enjoy a lunch. We have a little bit of downtime. And then I believe we got off the train. I would say it was about 4 o'clock. So yes, there's time to visit the beach. Not really time to go into town. The focus is on the dinner. And it's all about enjoying the local produce. And Coffs Harbor is known for its seafood. Of course, that was on the menu. And then I think we probably boarded the train again about 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, you're comfortably bused from the train to the venue. In this case, it was an outdoor picnic grounds on the beach. One of the unique cultural things along the way is something called the Big Banana. It wasn't a stop, but the bus driver is in full narrative mode. And so even though you may get dropped off in the center of the city, as the bus proceeds to your destination, it's a complete narrated ride by the bus drivers. They're very good about pointing out things. Big Banana is a restaurant and an icon that started the giant image movement in Australia years ago. And now there are other things, giant sheep, giant kangaroos in various different cities.
And the Great Banana is because Coffs Harbor used to be a big banana plantation. So that's what they were known for.
Okay.
Okay, so then you're
it's,
back.
It's just a big fruit here is what we're saying here. The Great Banana, the big fruit.
Giant size, 3 or 4 stories high, I think. Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah, pretty funny. So then you're back on the train, you spend the night, and then the next day, too, is a longer day. So you have your choice of 4 different off-train excursions. You can visit Hunter Valley, which is known as a wine region. It's probably one of Australia's oldest wine regions. And so you get a day of wine tasting, some gourmet food, and then you're back on the train at about dinner time. The other option is to visit Newcastle. And Newcastle's known for its beautiful beaches. It's Australia's second oldest city. It's got a lot of street art, shopping, and great cafes. Alternatively, you can choose to go to Port Stephens, and I'll let Gary talk about what Port Stephens is known for. But at Port Stephens, you get your choice of either touring Port Stephens by sea. So you get on a boat, you sail around the harbor, you get to do some dolphin watching, which is great fun. Or you can do Port Stephens by land because it's known for these giant sand dunes. So people get out there on dune buggies and spend the afternoon going up and down the hills. And then we all come back together on the train at the end of the day. But I'm going to let you talk a little bit about Port Stephens.
We opted for the sea cruise, and that was a good off-train excursion because Port Stephens is known as the dolphin capital of Australia. So there's hundreds of dolphins that are available out in the bay. And from the moment we got on board the cruise and left the marina, the ship's captain begins to narrate and pointing out where he can spot dolphins. And then what you end up doing is rushing from starboard to port to take photographs and enjoy the pod as it moves along beside the cruiser. They don't get too close, but they certainly get close enough that you can take accurate pictures.
And the day we were there, we were lucky enough to see the captain thought it was 2 pods coming together. And he estimated that there were nearly 100 dolphins that we got to see in one day. So it was quite an unusual outing. And then at the end of the day, we all come back together for lunch at a local golf club called Nelson Bay Golf Club. And it's a multi-course meal where they serve roasted lamb and grilled vegetables and mixed green salad. And I think there was a steak and potatoes and, of course, a couple of different desserts at the end. And then different wines that are served with the meal as well.
Now, one question I had is you divided the group into 3 parts. I'm trying to estimate the size of the people you're traveling with from one of the pictures that shows me roughly 20 tables at dinner of 8 people each. So we're talking roughly 160 people or so on the whole trip?
Yeah, there's, I think on our train trip, there were 140 passengers, and I think the train can hold 160. So the tables at Coffs Harbor, for example, they were long. They probably seated 20 people at each one.
Okay. And so you've got roughly 50, 60 people who are going to each of the 3 different destinations with you when you divide up in 3. Okay.
Yep. So what the train typically does is they'll rent buses, and depending upon how many people are going to each destination, 2 or 3 buses may go in one direction, 2 or 3 will go in another direction. And then everybody comes back together at the end of the day. And sometimes, depending upon where you're going, the train moves south.
Sure, and you meet at a different place. Okay.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, that day, did everybody feel they had chosen the right thing, the right activity, or were there some people thinking that sounds like yours was much better than ours?
There is the compare and contrast.
I'm sure there is. There is.
And a lot of what happens when you return to the train is that a lot of folks will retreat to the lounge, and there they'll swap stories and compare and contrast. And what did you do? And what did you see? And it's a lot of commotion over some friendly drinking and some swapping of stories of what occurred. That's how you really get to meet the people, is when you come back and meet up in the lounge area for just some conviviality and conversation.
And I think everybody felt very satisfied with what they chose. So some people, the more adventuresome people, are going to go on the dune buggy trip, and they were thrilled with what they did. We had been to the Hunter Valley before, so we really debated long and hard whether to go to that or whether we should divide up and one person should go on the ski trip and one person should go to Hunter Valley. But in the end, I think everybody was pretty satisfied with what they did. Journey Beyond does a really good job at organizing these off-train excursions. So then the next day, there were more choices. So you could visit the city of Melbourne. And in Melbourne, there were options to include the National Gallery of Victoria, or you could visit the Old Melbourne Jail or the Melbourne Cricket Ground. So sports in Australia is huge, and there's a massive sports complex in Melbourne. Or you could go to the Moorabool Valley, which is what we chose to do. We visited Clyde Park Winery for some wine tasting, and again, another feast, another massive meal. And it's south of Melbourne, not exactly in the Yarra Valley. The winery overlooks the Moorabool Valley, which is just a gorgeous part of the country.
It's Victoria's high country, and it's a cooler climate for growing wine. So Chardonnay and Pinot Noir are the featured wines of that particular region. Okay. And the winery has won several awards.
So if you chose to go to Melbourne, at the end of the day, those three different groups come back together to the Sky Deck, which is a skyscraper in Melbourne that overlooks the city, and people would enjoy a lunch there. Or in our case, we were fed lunch at Clyde Park. I will tell you what it was all about. We had roast lamb, grilled vegetables, frittata, green salad, two different types of flatbread, Peking duck. And then at the end, the chef produced this massive 10-foot pavlova that covered a couple of different tables. And it was covered with whipped cream and fruit. It was amazing. It was a work of art. And of course, there was music at the luncheon as well.
And I had to look up pavlova. Okay, you're talking about a meringue-based dessert.
Yes. It's pretty iconic in Australia.
And very popular. On or near the holiday season.
Okay.
And Christmas for Australians is in the summer.
Right, sure.
So then again, at the end of the day, we come back together in the lounge. People compared notes, what they liked, what they did, and then we get seated for dinner. And the way that dinner works is, I think there are two or three different seatings, different times. And you just get in line and you're seated at tables of four. And so whoever is in front of you or behind you is who you're going to eat dinner with. So you're eating with different people all the time, which is really fun because you get to meet a lot of different passengers on the train.
It's all white table linen and it's all first class service. And you can have wines of your choice. Most of the wines are from Southeastern Australia, as they reflect the regions you're going through. And that's typical of the Indian Pacific. The wines there reflect the regions you're going through, as well as on the Gawn from Adelaide to Darwin.
I want to talk a little more about those two things in a minute here, but let's finish up this train ride first. Was that your last stop in Melbourne?
That was our last stop. And then the next day we arrive in Adelaide.
Okay.
It is a wonderful city.
And you just disembark in Adelaide? There's no big party or tours in Adelaide?
So when you arrive in Adelaide, you do have an option to extend your train trip by 3 days. It includes a trip through the Adelaide Central Market, which is a huge market full of produce and craft goods and small restaurants and butchers and wine shops and cheese shops. And if you think of other food markets like the food market in Lyon or the Pike's Place Market in Seattle, that's what the Adelaide Central Market is like.
Okay.
So that's one day. And then the next day, I think there's an option to go wine tasting to Barossa Valley. And then there's a day tour of Adelaide after that. So yes, you can extend your trip, but you're off the train and you're in a hotel in Adelaide.
Okay. And I'm curious, the itineraries that you're describing are fairly relaxed in terms of how much you're trying to do in one day.
Yes.
Does that reflect an older clientele on this particular train ride?
I'd say typically it does. One, because perhaps of the cost.
Yeah. You'll have that on a luxury.
Yeah. The availability of the luxury and the attentiveness of the staff. They're really good about taking care of you. Anything you need, they're right on it for you.
Yeah, there are a number of retirees on the train trip. Mm. And it's interesting because on different train trips, we've met retired dairy farmers. This last trip, we met retired farmers on the train trip. Yeah. But we've also met working people as well. I think on the Indian Pacific, we met a couple that she's a college professor in Wollongong, and he works in IT in that same city. And they'd been gifted that trip. You do get a mix of people.
We've taken the train rides, and in some places, like on the Indian Pacific, from Sydney to Perth does stop in Adelaide. Some folks got off and others got on. And that happened to be a younger group.
Okay.
And the dynamic there and the energy level changed. So we shouldn't say that the Great Southern or any of the train rides are a geriatric rail journey. They're not that way at all.
Got it. Okay.
There was live music in the lounge almost every night. Someone playing a guitar. You could do karaoke. You could sing along. The energy level was high, along with the availability of your own participation, if you want.
Now, where you have done the GON, the Indian Pacific, and the Great Southern, how would you compare the three?
It depends on what you really want to see. The real drama of the natural environment is clearly in the south to north excursion, the Adelaide to Darwin.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to go through country that, like Catherine, is a city up that way, and some really amazing cruise rides and tours through gorges that were once inhabited by the original folks there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going right through the heart of the outback.
Yeah.
And that particular train trip, the GON, stops in Alice Springs, and you have the option to get off of the train at that point and then take a separate trip to Uluru or
the Big Rock,
and then get back on the train again, I think about 3 days later. So that's a great way to see the outback.
Okay.
Whereas I'd say if you took the Indian Pacific, one of the first stops along the way is a mining town. A tremendous amount of mining went on up in certain ridges just outside of Adelaide before it becomes just a complete desert. And one of the off-train excursions is a visit to a recreated town hall meeting where people might be dressed as miners and doing a reenactment of maybe arguing for higher wages or better working conditions. It's fully staged performance. So you get a sense of more history in that regard, as opposed to just viewing the beauty of a natural environment like you would see in the outback.
So if I could summarize, I would say here are the differences as I see it. The Indian Pacific is a great way to go from Sydney to Perth. That puts you on the west coast of Australia, where a lot of people never make it there. And the western side of Australia is quite interesting. And that train trip starts by going through the Blue Mountains, which is just outside of Sydney, and it's a beautiful part of the state. As I mentioned before, the great thing about taking the GON is you get to go through the outback and you get to see parts of the country that, again, a lot of visitors never make it to. But the Great Southern, what I loved about the Great Southern is that it is probably one of the prettiest of the three train rides because it's green almost the whole way.
Okay.
And you get to see parts of the coast.
It is summertime.
And it is summertime, yeah.
Interesting. Of the three trips, so let's do this one at a time. Your favorite excursion on the Great Southern?
I'm going to say it was the dolphin watching in the cruise out there. That was pretty exciting. I was racing from starboard to port trying to capture these pictures and see these dolphins.
Yep, being in a pod of 100 dolphins is pretty yeah. special.
Unusual, yeah. yeah.
It's interesting that part of the narration there by the captain, he was saying, watch for the tail slapping. That's usually the mature females slapping the water, directing a young one to stay close to the pod. Don't wander off. They do a lot of tail slapping in the water, making a noise and trying to bring the young ones back to the pod. So that was engaging for me to see that.
And then Pam, same answer or?
No, actually, my favorite was going to Clyde Park Winery in Moorabool Valley. We've been fortunate enough. We do a lot of wine tourism type mm-hmm. of writing, and we've been lucky enough to go to many different wine regions in Australia. So it's always fun to go to a new one. And of course, the food was fabulous.
And I should mention that we connected through IFTWA.
Yes.
Which is an odd sounding organization, the International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers Association, of which we're yes. all members. So
yes, correct.
There is a reason why wine might be something that you would visit a lot.
Yes.
And then on the GON, the north to south route, same question, favorite excursion for each of you?
Ooh.
Go ahead if you want.
No, you, because I'm going to say the same thing you're going to say.
Oh, we'll probably say the same thing. I think it was the gorges, the okay. tour boat to the gorges.
Are these gorges up by Catherine?
Yeah, by okay. Catherine. A little bit north of Catherine, just before you get into.
So you're up in the Kimberley area.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a whole show on the Kimberley, so
excellent. Oh, okay. Very good.
Definitely want to explore more of that.
Yeah.
So I have a different answer than Gary. I thought we were going to say the same thing. We stopped in Alice Springs, and you had the option to take a helicopter ride over the area, and we did, and it was fabulous. We saw Alice Springs and then all of the topography around that, but I love a helicopter ride, so that was my favorite.
Okay, excellent. And then finally on the Indian Pacific, so we're going east-west or west-east. I'm not sure which way you did. Favorite excursion?
For me, I'd have to say it was probably the mining town.
Okay. I got that.
Performance.
The history
and
there.
Mm-hmm. Into the mining area and a tremendous memorial of the dead who have died over the years in the mines. Very touching. Mm. Very excellent prepared tribute. But then the performance, the interaction, and the sense of history that you get from watching that performance is very engaging and revealing. That'd be my favorite part of that.
And for me, my favorite was the dinner we had the last night aboard the train. We stop at a remote train station that's really not in operation anymore.
Yeah.
And so Journey Beyond sets out these huge tables. You're out under the stars. It's dark at the time. And they put on a dinner out there. The weather was warm enough to be outside. And it's a big party. Music, great food, a chance to chat with other passengers that might not necessarily be in your lounge car or dining in your restaurant. And it's beautiful to be out. You're just out there in the middle of, it's not quite the outback, but you're out there under the stars. And it's a lovely experience.
Got it. So there are more than one lounge car. I did not catch that.
So we should explain that. There's two different levels on the train. There's gold and there's platinum. And the platinum cars, I think they have their own restaurant and lounge car. The gold, there's more rail cars that have the gold service, and they have two restaurants and two lounge cars. So you might not even meet half or two-thirds of the people
okay.
that are on the train, unless you go to a bigger event where you're all together.
And each kitchen has its own executive chef and staff, and they're fully
okay. in charge all right.
of menu development.
Interesting.
And, yeah,
what else do people need to know if they were going to do one of these wonderful train trips here in Australia?
Well, as a practical matter, you need to know that you're really only going to be allocated a small suitcase in your cabin. So
okay.
don't expect to take your giant airplane suitcase. You can take it and they will put the larger suitcase under the train in storage, but you need to select out your toiletries and your immediate the clothing that you want.
Yeah, what you're going to wear that.
There's a closet there. You're not cramped for space. It's just that you would be if you were trying to work around a giant suitcase. It's better just to take a smaller little handbag on the train.
And I would pack some bug spray for mosquitoes. I don't recall that being a big problem, but if you're out there under the stars at night, you might need that. You will be given sunscreen. Every passenger is given a little container of sunscreen, but I would pack sunscreen because the sun can be strong in Australia. And bring a hat, definitely, and bring layers as well. So when you're out there early morning or late in the evening, you might need a sweater, but during the day, you probably don't. So pack in layers and bring a book. Bring something to read while you're sitting in your
cabin. Oh, sure, because you're doing hours on the train.
In some instances, the train stations are quite lovely and well-appointed, and they're spacious, cavernous places where you can get around. I think, unfortunately, for the Great Southern, is that in Brisbane, they had to leave from rather a gritty freight station. But you're bused there comfortably, and you're assisted to get on board. But don't expect too much glamour like you would on the Indian Pacific or the Gone from the train station itself. Alternatively, what the Great Southern does is they have all of their guests arrive at, I think, a 155-year-old, fully restored mansion with expansive gardens and yards, and then all kinds of food and tables set up. You come there, and that's the gathering point. They greet you with, of course, a glass of sparkling wine. And from there, due to the absence of a really good train station, they bus you directly to the freight yard. So they
still had a good party beforehand.
Absolutely.
I think the other thing that I would advise people to do is go to the Journey Beyond website. Do look at the different trips and decide what part of the country do you want to see. They all go through Adelaide, so that's a good thing. Oh, that's the other thing I forgot to mention on the Indian Pacific. You can get off the train and visit Adelaide for a couple of days and then resume your journey when the next train comes around. So that's a great way to see Adelaide. But I would say take a look at the three trips, decide what part of the country you want to see, and then when you decide on that, decide what route you want to take, because the off-train excursions do vary depending upon whether you're coming from east to west or west to east.
North
to south.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we talked about this being luxury in terms of price for just the train trip and not a package, Brisbane to Adelaide. I'm seeing a range of roughly a little over $3,000 to all the way up if I want to do Platinum flexible $8,000, but mostly in the $3,000 to $4,000 range per person.
Right.
So just people know what to expect.
Exactly.
The good thing is those are Australian dollars.
I was going to ask. I could not tell. Okay.
Yeah, we found that the American dollar was very strong in Australia. So $3,500 really meant I'm not looking at a conversion.
That's about a 33%. Yeah, about a third off then, basically. Okay.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Excellent. As we start to wind this up, anything else people need to know before I get to my wrap-up questions?
Know that you're going to interact with a lot of people, that the lounge car is the central convivial hub of your experience. Your cabin is yours private. If you want to just sit in your cabin and look out the window, it's like watching a huge TV screen as the landscapes roll by. But in the outback lounges, which are named after various explorers who opened up these routes along the way, you're going to be engaged with people. You'll be talking. There might be music playing.
You might make new friends.
Yeah.
We did.
You mentioned bringing a book. For those people who are addicted to their social media and their phone, are they bringing a book because they don't have access to the internet through much of this journey? Or
it depends. On the Great Southern, we had more internet access than the other train trips. But when you get into the Outback, you don't have a lot of that.
That's what I figured.
This is a nice way to unplug.
Excellent. You are sitting in your rail car, looking out your big, beautiful window at the most beautiful scenery you have seen on this trip, where are you and what scenery are you looking at?
Here's a juxtaposition of scenery, and this is from a view on the Gon. As you come into Darwin, the red dirt and the ravaged landscape full of anthills and mounds proliferating suddenly breaks to the beautiful Elizabeth River, and you cross it on a bridge, and the entire scene just flips from red dirt to azure blue river. And it's all part of Elizabeth River flows into the Darwin Bay and has for thousands of years. Just the juxtaposition of scenery is quite, it's like you switch channels on a big TV screen.
Pam, same question. Where would you be?
For me, it would be on the Great Southern. So we're leaving Queensland. It's very green on one side, and on the other side, you're beginning to see the coast. So you're just dropping down from Queensland, coming into New South Wales. You're not quite to Sydney yet. You're in the northern beaches, which is a beautiful part of the state. And you get to see water and greenery, and it's just gorgeous outside.
And beaches for miles.
Yes.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say, only on, and we'll give you all three trains here, only on the Gon, the Indian Pacific, or the Great Southern?
Well, some of the histrionics of your table partners can get quite dramatic. Perhaps if they've imbibed a little too much, we watched some folks call full attention to themselves shucking oysters at the dinner table. Can you do it in one fell swoop? That kind of thing. That created a lot of laughter because it turned out to be a rather messy operation with a big bib on.
Okay, I have a funny story. You're going to have to help me remember exactly what the stop was. Oh, I know where it was. So on the Gon from Adelaide to Darwin, you have an early morning stop. It's called the Marla stop. And they ask you the night before if you want to get up and watch the sunrise at this stop. Okay. So remember I said, dress in layers, bring a sweater.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
No, you never know how cold it might be in the morning or the evening. On that particular trip, Gary brought a blue blazer. He did not bring a jacket. He did not bring a sweater. And so he's out there in the morning. We're drinking coffee. We're waiting for the sun to come up. He's out there in his shorts and his blue blazer because that's the only thing that he had that was warm to throw on. It made quite a scene.
Okay. They build lovely bonfires to keep you warm in the morning, though. So.
And if you had to summarize this trip, and let's focus just on the Great Southern, if you had to summarize that trip in just three words, what three words would you use?
Go for it.
Pam, I'll give you three more if you want to use different ones.
Stunning scenery.
Okay, and you've got an extra word for next time you come on. You can get four words now. Excellent. Our guests again have been Pam and Gary Baker from pamandgarybaker.com. Do you have an article that we can send people to about your train trip on your website that will give them a better idea of what they should expect?
We don't have anything on the Great Southern yet, but that's coming soon.
It's been drafted.
When you get that up, whether or not it's in the next month, send me that link and I'll put it in the show notes.
But there are definitely stories, several stories about the Indian Pacific and the Gon as well.
Okay, excellent.
Great.
Thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Australia and for the train travel down there.
Oh, thank you for having us on.
Thanks for having us.
My thanks as always to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I heard this week from Jay on an older episode on Uruguay. Chris, you continue to knock it out of the park. We love the podcast and rely on your podcasts for our travels. Uruguay was awesome. Karen's recommendations were spot on. We loved Big Bang so much we extended. Thanks again and are enjoying your Bible podcast as well. Well, thanks so much, Jay. Always good to hear. And the Bible podcast, just in case you don't know, I do a second podcast called the Bible Study Podcast that Jay is referring to. I also heard from Savio Wong, patron and former guest on the show, about the episode I did on my recent trip to Malta. Savio said, I visited Malta almost exactly a year ago and went to...
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Quite a number of sites you recommended. It is indeed a lovely destination with lots of history. I happened to be there during its annual Choral Music Festival late January and attended a few concerts in churches. Because it was low season, I was able to get a good idea at a very nice hotel in Valletta. Beware that Valletta became very quiet at night. Depending on one's preference, it could be a plus or a minus. And then Savio also said, one more thing, it was definitely a Christian country, but there is an Ottoman cemetery that is worth checking out. Unfortunately, the day I rode the bus there, the gate of the cemetery was locked. Thanks so much, Savio. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.